This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Air on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Black Forest Motorsports. If you've got a BMW, Mini Cooper, or a Porsche, and you're looking for a dealer alternative, Black Forest is a great place to go. Over 40 years experience. And if you want to go a little quick around the track, they can do that for you as well. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. That's blackforestautomotive.com. Well, who have you got today, young lady?
Well, the topic today is two wheels and some serious speed, like Bonneville, El Mirage, even Isle of Man speed. And I think the common thread here is racer Sunny Angel. Yeah. To my right, I have younger brother
of Sunny Angel. Looking, right?
And no slouch himself clocked at well over 200 miles per hour.
No, just a little bit over.
Wait a minute, you need to grab that microphone
and,
right there.
While he finds the microphone
there
to my
you go.
Left.
And they just put it right to your, like that when you're talking.
Okay.
Perfect.
To my left, we have a gentleman who is archiving thousands of photos that span decades of Sunny Angel and his friends and competitors. So please welcome Donnie Angel and Mark Brush.
Good. Well, that's one of the things that Brittany and I like to do. You know, what you're doing from a photo archive, we like to get these gentlemen and ladies on and get a audio, you know, and then
perfect.
Because we will do it with just about anybody and everybody. She's got some motorcycle, Marty Tripp, for example.
Marty Tripes, yep.
Mm-hmm. Marty Tripp, mm-hmm. We got, and who are some of the other
Lars Larson.
Lars Larson.
Legend, yes.
And it's so much
Tomahawk.
Fun, yep, to get these guys in here and the girls and tell stories, you know, and because I do what? 6 hours of radio?
Yeah, a lot.
Sometimes,
that's
you know. Yeah, well, you know, it goes by like a nanosecond, just unbelievably fast. So, and it's your brother, Sonny?
Yeah.
Quite a reputation right along with you.
Well, no, I don't have much of a reputation
as much
compared
as
to him.
Absolutely.
And I never really knew how famous a person he was, you know, until, because I just worked. You know, he put me in the back and make me work. So that's all he did was work.
So you turned the wrenches and he rode and took the glory.
No, he rode and took the glory and he took the money, too.
Oh! Tell us how you really feel, Donnie.
Yeah, he was right. Smarter than me.
But I'm not bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not bitter. Oh, no, I'm not bitter. So how old were you when you first started racing?
Oh, well, I started going to a motorcycle shop when I was 12 years old.
Okay, all right.
And so...
So that's been a while.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
And so...
Just look at him.
I was never really much of a racer, but I just kind of dabbled in it a bit. Yeah. So
in
the 60s.
Did you like wrenching better than racing?
No, I still don't like wrenching. Everything I've got's broken, and I'm not going to fix it.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, isn't that normally the way it is?
Yeah, I mean, think so, yeah.
It's like the dentist kids all have bad
teeth. I'm going to get around to it someday.
Yeah.
I enjoy racing, and it's pretty rewarding, but it's mostly the people that you meet in the racing community. You know, you think, yeah, I'm pretty good, and then a girl goes by you, and it's wow, man. You know,
it's a
machismo racing thing. You know,
there's a little bit of that.
Okay, so I got a motorcycle story. Let's see what you think of it. So you've heard of a guy by the name of Duhamel?
Yvonne.
Yeah.
French guy.
Pretty good rider.
Yeah.
Very serious. Not anything like you. Super serious. I mean, and I'm at Auto Club Speedway or Fontana, and the super bikes were there, you know, the big GP bikes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm interviewing him, you know, and I can't get this guy to smile. I can't get him to chuckle. I can't. Now, granted, it's race day, so okay, it makes sense. So I says, hey, have you ever found that device that's on a motorcycle that when you fall off, it's like a gyro and it hunts you down and tries to poke holes in you? He laughed so hard. He says, I've been looking for that part for years. I can't seem to find it.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to know if I'd get on the back of his bike, and we'd go down the straightaway at about $1.75 and take turn one. I said, no.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. So what got you into land speed?
Well, my brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He started the land speed stuff with his friend Dave Owen. He went to Bonneville in 1954. And Dave's Harley would only run about 100 miles an hour, 102 miles an hour, or something like that. So he said, well, my Vincent will go faster than that. So the next year, he brought his Vincent back, and I guess it went that year 144 miles an hour.
144.69.
Yeah, okay.
That's why he's the archive. Yeah. That's why you brought him, right?
He can remember all that stuff. I remember I got to carry my driver's license around my wallet so I know my name.
You could guess. No one's going to know.
So yeah. One of the neat things about it was the fact that Sonny worked at the Vincent factory in England in 1950 and brought Lightning parts back with him, with which he put in the motor. That's why
he smuggled them back in his suitcase.
That's why he was able to run the speed that he did.
Yeah. And he brought back a set of... cycle engineering taps and dies, and it weighs about 25 pounds, and I've still got them.
Really?
Yeah, they're really cool. And
if you ever decide you don't want them anymore, donate them to the auto museum.
They don't get them.
They have the second largest motorcycle display down there, and if you haven't been, you need to go. The auto museum down by Aaron's
Base. The Bishop guys used to run it.
Yeah, but they're not running it anymore.
Yeah, I don't know who's running it, but I haven't gone there in a long time. My friend... Mike Madigan has a bunch of motorcycles in there. Yeah,
right.
So he's a good guy. But anyway,
talking about the Vincent.
Yeah.
Is that what your brother Vincent. Raced the mainly was Vincent's?
Well, he lanced for land speed racing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But Burt Monroe came over.
You don't know Burt Monroe.
Burt Monroe stayed with Sonny and Donnie.
Yeah.
Well, because he never had any money. He couldn't afford to stay in a hotel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's a Burt Monroe story. He came over to pick Sonny's brain because Sonny had been to Bonneville. So it must have been in like 1956 or something that he came over. And so anyway, Sonny was living down at the motorcycle shop, and so Burt couldn't stay there because he only had one little bunk. So we lived out in El Cajon. So Burt came out to our house in El Cajon, and he stayed in the house. Well, my dad was in Alaska working on the dew line, so I don't know what Bert was doing, but anyway.
He smiled a lot.
He smiled a lot. I think I was like 11 years old, 10 years old or something. But in the movie, World's Fastest Indian, they had a green 52 Chevrolet.
That's right.
Well, it wasn't green, it was brown. So he drove us around El Cajon because my mom liked to go nurseries and you know, get plants and stuff like that. So he'd drive us around in the car. Well, my mom was in the front seat, and me and my two sisters were in the back seat, and we'd giggle and laugh because he was driving on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then I had an army surplus tent, and I don't know where I got that tent, but anyway, it was out in the backyard. And I tried to put it up because, you know, 11-year-old kid, and this tent weighed, I don't know, it was a big army surplus tent.
Yeah.
So I get one pole up, and then I go around, and I get the other pole, and the tent fall down on top of me. And
keep talking.
Anyway, Bert cut a bunch of little stakes, and he put the tent up, and I lifted it up until it rotted away.
Did he sleep in it?
No, I just hung out in it.
No, did Bert sleep?
Oh, no, he was in the house. I slept outside.
I see how that goes.
It was a eucalyptus forest, and so I kind of, you know, hung out in the eucalyptus forest. And he's got a picture of Sonny out in the eucalyptus forest when he was getting ready to go to England to go to work at the Vincent factory.
So anyway, that has nothing to do with the land speed racing.
Well, but you know what? But we got to take a break, unfortunately, because we got to pay bills. We will be right back.
Okay, you always pay bill.
I know. You don't got any money. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to
Racer Radio.
FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where absolutely nobody takes better care of you than El Cajon Ford. I'll tell you what, if you're looking for new or used, inventory is a little tight, but there is some down there. They do such a good job with Ford. They do send them inventory, plus used as well, and they support Barona Speedway.
Yes.
In fact, we have Dirt Dude on the line. I think he's...
Oh, he didn't?
Okay, no. Cool.
Well,
so it's opening day next weekend.
You had a big segment on KUSI yesterday.
Had a big segment. Yeah. Did you see it? I'll send it to you.
Yeah, the Baldwins were on. I saw that.
There, little guy comes up. He says, do you know how many races I've won so far? No, how many? 38.
What?
That's what I said. So I says, well, get in touch with Brittany and we'll get you back on the radio. But yeah, so their opening race is this Saturday.
April 2nd.
Practice on Friday.
April Fool's Day.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost anything to spectate on Friday. So if you just want to come up, kick the tires, and you're more than welcome to go to baronaspeedway.com.
Gates open at 3. Yep. Racing starts at 6. We used to say 5, but it was posted 6 now.
Well,
so
just be there early.
National anthem.
Are you driving this Saturday?
I plan on racing on Saturday. Haven't been in the car for a while.
Have you talked to the crew?
We're good. We're ready.
Are you going to go Friday?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. It's going to be...
So
crowded.
I might come up.
Sounds like a road trip.
So maybe I'll come up and help in the pits if I know where you pit, because I never know.
Yeah,
where you pit.
Have you been to the Barona pits?
I have.
You were talking about even back when they did flat track, right? That you'd been out there.
Yeah,
Barona.
Talk to the mic.
I raced it.
Talk to the mic.
Hey, how are you doing? I raced at Barona on my 50th birthday.
Did the microphone just scare Donnie?
It literally did.
But I didn't know they raced motorcycles.
Yeah, they did flat track.
Yeah,
out
a long time ago.
Yep.
Yeah. They used to on a 3/8 mile.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now this is not a lie.
Well, let's go back to your first bike.
Here we go.
A 1951.
No. 1954 Kaprunewicz. No, that's another one.
We're talking about the first one.
The first one is they built it for me in the motorcycle shop in 1961, and it was my first road bike. Well, Sonny patted me on the back and said, well, we'll see you tomorrow. And that's how I learned how to ride a motorcycle.
Pretty sure it was a DKW.
I wobbled all the way home.
Was it a DKW?
Oh, wow.
The DKW was a dirt bike. That was my first motorcycle. I still got the key.
I don't have
the motorcycle anymore.
Yeah, very.
It's a Dyclossen's Flungen Wonder.
What?
That's what it means. It means the little wonder.
Oh, that's what the DKW stands for.
Yeah, that's
it's like DKW Auto Union, which is now Audi.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Write it down.
Oh,
I'll
know.
Forget.
Oh, I was a big motor. My dad raced for Harley Davidson flat track.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Used to call him Iron Wrist.
Yeah. Did he race in San Diego?
No, he raced up and down the state of California.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, when I was a kid, I grew up with the Hells Angels.
Oh, boy.
And I thought that everybody had motorcycles in their front room and everybody drank beer. And
it's a good place to keep them.
Don't they?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they still do.
I know.
Everybody that's anybody does.
I know.
And nowadays, I have his motorcycles in my front room.
So you have motorcycles in your front room?
I do. I've got three in the house.
That's how many?
Three.
Three.
Did you say in the house?
Two
in
of them are mine, aren't they? Yeah.
It's art.
Yeah, two
no,
of them.
I'm with you.
Are two of them, two of them are mine, aren't they? He doesn't even know where his motorcycles are. How many do you own totally?
I don't own
any. Do they
any.
Have to be
they
complete?
They all own me.
Okay.
They own me.
I've got about a dozen.
Okay.
And they're all kind of unusual.
Yeah, well, of course. See, now that'd be so fun to do some, we're going to do some video on you. Have you ever been to Adolfo Winery?
I have.
Oh.
With the Ducati single collection up there, yeah.
Have you taken him up there?
I haven't gone up there yet.
I need to
spend all
his son's
there.
Running the place
right.
now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Son and sister.
Two sisters and
two sisters and the brother.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
they've got We've had them on radio, and they're just as much fun as you.
Yeah. They're passionate. Yeah. About
they're Argentine, aren't they? Yeah,
they're Argentine. All I know is they drink a lot of wine.
Yeah,
that's the only thing
that's,
I can tell you.
What an amazing way to live.
And they'll do a podcast and start at 5.
Like a happy hour.
And then by the time the podcast is over, they're on the floor.
Huh. They're definitely done with a bottle.
Oh, yeah. Or a two or a three. Yeah.
And, I'm pretty sure they definitely know who Sonny was because he was Ducati singles mostly back in the beginning. A lot of Ducati singles.
Yeah, I sent a picture. I saw a picture that you posted. Thank you. We have to talk about his Facebook page that he's
putting
together.
Let's do it.
Oh, for Sonny?
Yeah, and it had his old and his newer Ducati.
So you got on Facebook, it's Sonny Angel American Legend, and then on Instagram, it is Sonny Angel Archives.
Okay.
And it's a lot of photos and a lot of history.
It's
and
amazing.
A lot of Donnie,
too. This is the picture I'm...
That's Donnie. Yeah. With
a
brand new...
He does a really good job.
Brand new 916.
Down to motorcycle
shop. Sonny Angel...
American...
Sonny Angel Archives on Instagram, and Sonny Angel American Legend on Facebook. Okay.
It is so good.
This one belonged to Lee Rayner. Oops, it's gone now.
Uh-oh, you're swiping me right.
Yeah, and you have to talk to the mic.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well,
yeah, so that picture's Donnie. I think that was 95 at the shop, but a brand new 916 and
what year
750
was that?
Sport.
What year was that?
95-ish. That
Something
was the first
like
year
that,
for
yeah,
the 916.
1995, I think. So that's when the 916 came out.
Yeah.
Really, really pretty. It was a Sophia Loren of motorcycles. Yeah.
I had a 1100 Monster that Ducati gave me.
Wow, oh, yeah.
Those are fun.
And they gave me nothing.
Well, they gave
grief.
It to me.
They gave you grief.
3 weeks later, they called me and they said, you either bring it back.
Oh, they didn't.
Or we're going to send you an invoice. What do you have a choice?
Oh, I thought they was going to send one of the collectors to come and get it.
Yeah. No, I'm lucky enough. I'm truly lucky. Did you see that real pretty Porsche sitting
out
there?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
yes.
The one that I bumped into?
The one you bumped into. Well, I drive a different vehicle every week because the manufacturers give them to me. I talk about them on the radio, and then they give them to me, and they give them to me.
How clever.
Yeah, I know. It's a really...
Sounds like a good job to have.
Well, I was a service manager in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. All those cars were crap.
Yeah.
So everybody yelled at me. So the good Lord just said to repay me, I get a new vehicle every week to drive. Yeah. And it's
I'm keeping my 1975 Dodge van because it's been to Bonneville 13 times.
Yeah, but it's fallen apart according to you in the green
room. It's got a little bit of rust on it.
75 is probably the worst year to buy a vehicle.
It sheds.
I didn't buy it in 1975.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, you don't have that kind of money?
No. My brother bought it.
Oh. He bought everything.
My other brother. No, not my other brother. Yeah. So.
That's crazy. But, you know, I only joke because I was a service manager and 75 was a terrible year for cars.
Back to the Facebook page, please.
Thank you.
Just because I really would like to encourage people to check it out. The Sonny Angel American Legend is the one I was checking out.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so, not only are there beautiful pictures, but you give a nice explanation. And
lots of research.
Yeah. I can
tell. Lots of help from him, too.
That's awesome. To put it down while you still remember it.
So his memory's still working?
Yeah. It does still work.
Oh, yeah.
What?
You're just,
what?
It's tough to recall quickly on a radio sometimes.
Well, the go ahead.
What's pretty amazing is Sonny was around motorcycles from like 1937 all the way up until 2015 and always had a camera.
No, wait a minute. Yeah. He wanted, when he was 12 years old, he wanted a motorcycle shop. And so he lived in Tennessee and he would hitchhike to Nashville to buy motorcycle magazines. And he probably, they may still be some of them in his archive.
Wouldn't be surprised.
He kept everything. He's kept everything.
And your point?
My point, well, I don't know
he
what the point.
He has 12,000 pictures he's trying to post.
Yeah.
That could be one of your
points. He was around motorcycles.
Negatives,
he wanted a motorcycle shop when he was 12 years old. And so he, not only did he keep everything, but parts that I needed to fix a motorcycle, he'd take them home because he wanted to keep them.
So what do you suppose made him at the age of 12? Because things happen to people that make them want to do things at certain ages. So
good
at the
question.
Age of 12... I mean, there was no movies to speak of, but what turned
him
on?
He might have seen a motorcycle magazine or something like that. He saw a motorcycle that had a gear on the front wheel, and it had a speedometer that ran off the front wheel, and I guess it just
clicked.
Yeah. And so, you know, being from Tennessee, you know, you kind of...
Is that too?
Yeah, wanted to go somewhere and do something.
Somewhere else.
Somewhere else, yeah.
Which he did end up buying his own motorcycle.
Yeah,
shop.
Well, he joined the Navy when he was 15. So him and his sister, him and his sister took the Bible and they got a light bulb and they put the light bulb on the. They wrote their name in there when they were born. You know, when they made up when he was born. And so they took the light bulb and burnt the pages so they looked old. You know,
and he took that in so he could get
the
Navy.
Yeah, he took the Bible into the recruiter and just,
Still, we couldn't figure out whether he was born in 25 or 27.
Oh,
because half of the documentation on everything says one of the 2 years.
Well, what they used, the racers used to tell me, I would ask them, you know, when I first started interviewing people, I don't do this anymore. I'd say, so how old are you? He says, are you interested in me driving or are you interested in me? Or you want my real age?
Oh.
Yeah, because they would never tell their real age.
Yeah.
Because if they're too old, that could be a prerequisite to, sorry, we're not going to, we don't need you because you're too old, you're over the hill type thing.
Yeah. Wow. I'm old enough to put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
And are you still racing?
Not right now, but in
I don't mean
no,
May.
El Mirage. Yes, just say yes.
You know, but if somebody hands you a motorcycle,
we start in May.
Yes,
our season land speed racing starts in May, and so I don't have my motorcycles together. I'm working
doing?
On the Moto Guzzi, and
what are you doing?
That's typical, Dave.
I'm
we
working
all
on the
burn.
Roses.
We all do that. Wait till the last second.
No, I'm getting ahead of the game on this.
For this time.
This time. Yeah. I'm going to put it together and take it up and run it on Randy Nelson's dyno.
Okay, to see what you got out of it?
No, just to get a benchmark. He's the president of the San Diego Roadster Club, and he also does motorcycle crash research for the National Transportation and Safety
National
Board.
Highway,
NSTS.
Kind of
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, and then I want to get my NSU running because NSUs used to have 21 land speed racing records.
Right.
It was the first motorcycle to go over 200 miles an hour in 1955.
Right.
And that's a sad story because they were coming back in 1956 to do some more records, and the motorcycles were on the Andadoria. And so it's down at the bottom
kidding.
Of the ocean.
Yeah, someplace.
And the guy that was going to race the motorcycle, it wasn't a Mueller, it was the other guy. He was on the airplane, and the airplane crashed. And so they quit racing that year.
Yeah. Oh, and that was the end of that.
That
huh?
was the end of that, yeah.
Wow.
So there's a whole bunch of to the land speed racing thing that I don't really know. I just go out there, and I'm scared. So, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. But our mantra is safety first.
Right.
That's what we do. Safety first, then go racing and have fun.
Right.
And go fast.
Right.
So far I've been, I started at the top of the pyramid. I got a ride in a streamliner, which is what most people, they work
toward getting
a ride in a streamliner. Well, I was Don Vesco's understudy. So he...
Don Vesco's cool.
Yeah. He was, and I didn't really know him real well because he had a Yamaha shop in El Cajon. We had a Yamaha shop in National City. Well, Vesco was a smart guy. So he'd take them apart and raise the compression on them, make it. And so people would just go, you know, they'd go to Sonny's and ride the Yamaha. And, that's a nice motorcycle. And then I said, well, I'll go to Vesco. They went to Vesco's and ride his. And I was, I was really fast, you know. So they would buy them from him instead of us. But, you know,
well, that's okay. But when they broke, they brought them to you, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Racer Radio.
Okay.
FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, this segment is, let me just do this really quick, like, because Paris Auto Speedway, fast half-mile track. If you've never been there, man, you have got to go to Paris Auto Speedway. It is so much fun. And with that, we have a very, very special guest, Chuck Becker, who drives the only convertible super stock at Paris. I didn't think they did that. So he's on the phone.
Really?
Hey, Chuck, how's it going, buddy?
That's
I'm
legal.
Really good. How about you?
How do you get away with doing? I mean, they did convertible cars, you know, with Daytona and, you know, the NASCAR guys. But I didn't know you could do that legally. That's what I would do. I'd get fresh air coming in.
Well, you know, the whole thing is I like to flirt with the gray areas of the rules that really don't really matter, right?
Ooh, what other areas, I wonder? Who doesn't?
Right. And, well, when we were looking at the rules and we were building this thing, I kept looking at it, and the only place that it said you had to that anything about a roof was it said you needed to run numbers on your roof. Well, I don't think if you have a roof, you don't have to run numbers on your roof. Just have them on the door. So, you know, it's kind of an iffy thing.
Now, what did they say when you rolled into tech? They had to have said something.
They said, do you have arm restraints? And and I actually do because of the little sprint cars that I race sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I actually started wearing them way back in the 80s when any time that I ran open wheel cars or without a roof.
Okay. So, they only said you have to put numbers there.
Now, I know you have a minimum weight. Unless you're chubby, how do you compensate for no roof?
Well, the roof really doesn't weigh that much, and it really doesn't take up that much room anyway. It's
just a
piece of aluminum just one panel. Up there, so maybe 5 pounds.
Oh, well, then you're good to go.
And this just makes it easier for my big old rear to get in and out of
the car. Is that how you get in and out, the top?
Yeah, you go through the top.
Like the sprint cars.
Most of the time, I actually go through the side because the minimum width of the car, believe it or not, is 78 inches. And we built the car 77 and 3/4 inches wide, and we moved all of it over to the left, so I actually have more room on that side of the car.
Gotcha. How long have you been racing?
Let's see. Started in 79.
Oh, wow.
A long time?
Yeah, long time.
I don't want to do the math.
Yeah, I don't either.
A long time.
Do you mainly race Paris, or do you race all up and down the state?
I used to race kind of all over the place, and now I've pretty much just been racing at Paris, and then every now and then I'll venture out.
I run
the little cars up at Wheel to Wheel in Victorville once in a while.
Okay.
John Aiden's thing.
All right. Wow. So
this Saturday, are you racing coming up?
I am racing this Saturday and spent all day out in the shop yesterday trying to find that extra maybe fifth or five hundredths of a second that's really tough to get.
It's probably under your bench.
Right.
Well, it might be. We mixed it up a little bit last week for the lead, and I just needed a little bit of forward drive, so we're trying to find it.
Uh-huh.
And so we're hopeful.
So where are you racing? Are you racing at Paris?
I am racing at Paris. Yes. We've had the car out twice now, and we've got a second and a fourth in it. So
not bad.
It's been a lot of fun.
How long have you been running this class?
Two races.
Oh.
So you're brand new in this
fourth
car.
Fourth and second, first time in this division.
Wow.
Yes, good. I was running the modified for a while, and I've been running an open motor, and that's kind of because I'm kind of a dinosaur and hard-headed. But the reality of it is without a crate, you're just not going to really compete most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, but I get where you're coming from. You know, I mean, you like to tinker and look for that extra, you know,
and tenth look for
of
the gray
mile.
Area, too.
Well, the gray. No, that's I knew he was old school when he said that because that's what rules are for. Oh. Right?
Right. Right, that you know, and you really don't push the rules in the critical parts, but the kind of, you know, we kind of try to have fun with some of the stuff, and body styles and stuff like that are kind of fun. And this car is really it's a throwback to the mid '80s when the wedge cars were a big deal.
Right,
we didn't go as extreme as what some of those are, and we tried to keep it pretty close.
Right,
and we could only go so long because the garage we were built the car in was only so long.
Oh my gosh!
But it's there.
But isn't it funny?
I don't know if you've seen a picture of it or not.
Scott sent us a picture of it, so I'm showing it to all the guests.
He passed it around.
But you know what's funny about motorsports? It's the only sport that you can be applauded for cheating.
Well, cheating or pushing the envelope?
Pushing the envelope. Maybe not so much today, but back in the day, because what NASCAR would do, if you were a crew chief and you were constantly pushing the envelope, they made you technical director.
Look for
correct.
That stuff. Yeah.
Actually, Gary Nelson was from San Bernardino.
Yeah. And he was one of
when I
the
was
best.
Kid, he Right. When I was a kid, he spent all of his time with Ivan Baldwin, who at the racetrack was ironically my dad's enemy, but they were best friends.
So if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's from Motorsports.
That's fact.
That's kind of where it's
pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's really what it is, but that's amazing.
So you're easy to find because you're topless. You're running topless, but can we have can we have a color scheme and a number just to confirm it's you if we're in the seats?
In the seats,
watching.
You know what? Yes, the car is black. The numbers are blue. Most of the lettering is blue and hot pink. And the reason for the pink is for breast cancer awareness.
Awesome.
You'll also see on all my cars, thumbs up for a cure, which is for kids with cancer.
Awesome.
And then I put the Nightmare Before Christmas stuff on it because it's just kind of, I try to make it fun for the kids.
Sure.
You know, give them something that they see to recognize and just have a little fun with it.
Well, and that's what's
anymore. That's what I do with racing is I try to have fun with it.
That's
right. Well,
awesome.
and that's the beauty of Paris Auto Speedway.
I got goosebumps.
Yes, you did.
On that one, because
Paris Auto Speedway reaches out to the kids probably better than most tracks I've seen.
Correct.
Yeah, with the Halloween when all the drivers were giving out Halloween candy.
Well, now they give candy out all the time.
Yeah, and the music they play between races and stuff.
And then when the parents take the kids home, they're full of candy and they won't go to bed and they can't sleep. Yeah.
Well,
I could go there and have fun.
You know.
What was that?
What goes up always comes down.
Yeah.
Same thing for kids.
Yeah, take them home.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, Paris to me is scary. I mean that thing.
Do you like that half mile?
That's scary.
Paris is big.
Yeah.
It's fast.
Yes. A little banked.
It can be a little bit tricky at times, depending on the crowd that you're in with on the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
There are some guys that I trust to the end of time,
mm-hmm.
and there are some guys mm-hmm. that I can't stand when I get within 20 feet of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got to take the good with the bad and you hope for the best. Yeah.
But the nice thing about it is everybody knows each other. So when you do get into that situation, you either go past them or you go behind them not to have to dance with them.
Well, you know, that's one of the weird things about starting a new class is one of the big things that I've learned in as long as I've raced is I study really hard the other guys I'm racing with.
Mm-hmm.
And now I got to study a whole new group of guys because I don't know them very well.
It's a new chapter.
And for as long as you've been racing, they're probably looking at you as the senior driver and somebody they got to go after.
Well, sometimes they look at me with my last name and they think, man, that guy's an ass. But, you know, it is what it is.
I wonder if there's any truth to that, Dave.
No, there would never be any truth to that. Are you kidding?
Well, for him to come for him to come in though and get second, then I'm not saying there's a target on his back, but who's this new guy taking second place?
Well, no, they're probably looking at his car saying, how's he get away with that?
Hey, show me the rule, I can't do it.
What's funny is really if you look at the rules, there's only a few cars on the bodies that are actually by the rules. Most of them are a little bit off, but I think that they all just realize it and they have fun with it.
Sure.
Back to having fun.
Let's face it.
Yes.
It's a show. It's entertainment. You know what I'm saying?
We're weekend warriors.
That's exactly right. And whether it's two-wheel, four-wheel, makes no difference. You're putting on a show for the fans and the what? You were mouthing something.
Sponsors.
Well, we're going to get to that. Yeah, which is something I always do. Hopefully, you're either standing next to your car or, as I tell the 8-year-olds that we interview,
it down.
Put it on a little 3x5 card and never go anywhere without it. So who gets you to the track?
I've been very fortunate because I was nearing what I thought was the end again for probably the fourth or fifth time of retirement. and I got a phone call from a guy named Brian Bergeson at Bergeson Heating and Air. And he's in cahoots with Toyota of Redlands. And the two of them came on and they kind of lit a fire under my rear.
That's
plus,
right.
And I've also got some, you know, longtime sponsors and friends, Huss Trucking,
Carpet Station. They've been on my car forever. Edmore Drivelines, which is really important in race cars because, you know, a lot of guys don't pay attention to that. But then Professional Racers Emporium 2.0, which is Shelley. They helped me a lot. Let's see. Rebel Signs, A First Impression. And then I get a lot of embroidery work done at BSR in Riverside there. So, you know, it's a lot of people look for big sponsors, and I don't know if that's always the best thing to do on the weekend warrior type thing.
Right.
Because the little sponsors, if you've got a lot of little ones, it does the same thing as a big one.
That's right. Where's your food sponsor?
My mom and Eileen take care of it, and they're very good at it.
I tell all my kids that come in, got to get a food sponsor, man. Got to get a food sponsor, because I don't know if you've ever been to Cajon Speedway.
I have. When I was a kid, my dad used to go down there and race a few times a year.
Yeah, now it's asphalt, I know, and you guys kind of turn your nose up to asphalt.
I race anything. I've been racing asphalt and dirt my entire life.
All right, well, then you're there. Hey, so are you social media oriented?
I'm on Facebook. I don't really get into Twitter and all that.
No. But I mean,
on Facebook, they're more than welcome to follow it.
All right, and what's the handle on Facebook?
Chuck Becker.
Boy, that's pretty hard.
And you'll see a picture of me with my. I'm wanting to say Doug Allen took a photo. No, not Doug Allen. One of the guys at Paris took a picture, and it actually was a really good one. So I just posted it as my Facebook cover.
So you used it?
Dang, yes, I did.
All right. Well, hey, you're more than welcome.
Oh, I missed a sponsor.
Go.
Because I didn't have my 3x5 card.
Go.
One of my lifelong friends, family member, however you want to word it, Randy Thornell, BRT Racing Engines.
There you go.
Woo, there you go.
You threw that one in.
Hey, get my contact.
Him and Ray Estrada.
All right.
It's dead.
Well, get my contact info from Scott Delosio, since he gave you this number. And if you maybe off season or in between. Just for your little sponsors, and if you don't mind hauling the rig down to San Diego, I'd love to put you on TV.
You know, I promised you that like 4 or 5 years ago when we won one of the championships, and I still owe it.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say nothing, but I'm still here. You notice that.
Just get the win for us next week, and then come down.
Yeah.
No, I'm not even going for anything but a win.
That's all you're there for, except have fun.
That's what I'm there for next week.
All right, buddy. Hey, thanks a million for calling in. We sure appreciate it. Chuck Becker, folks, go check him. He's driving a convertible.
Thank you for having me.
Topless.
Paris Auto Speedway. All right, this is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
You know, I got to tell you before we go back, this guy knows him too, but I had Joaquin Arnett on, and we would go to break, and he just kept talking. And like, he never shut up.
He never knew.
And I said, well, I'm doing a commercial, but he'd be telling the story. So I said, all right, fine. Okay. For a whole hour, we go in and out of breaks, and he would never, ever stop talking. This segment's brought to you by... Uh-oh, got to get another page here. There it is. Certified Car Clinic. I got a dyno in there. I left my... Racer Radio paperwork home.
Okay.
Certified Car Clinic, boy, I tell you, not only can they work on it, but they got a dyno to just see how fast they can make it go. CertifiedCarCare.net, CertifiedCarCare.net. Well, Brittany is dug up in the archives.
Yes.
And found an old motorcycle racer.
A man of many stories. A lot of good ones were coming out in the green room. And Mark and I think he should share one with you about Don Vett. Somebody walking up to you and thinking you're an imposter.
Well, we were at Bonneville in the Streamliner, and I was sitting in the Streamliner, and this guy came up and says, Donnie, how you doing? And I said, oh, I'm doing fine, you know. He says, well, and so he was chatting, and you know, something like that. And he had a great big old diamond ring on his little finger and stuff. And I go, oh, I don't know who the guy is, but, you know, okay, you know, I'm doing fine. And then he went off and he says, who's that son of a bitch in the Streamliner saying he's Don Vesco? And the on the Streamliner, one side of it says Don Vesco because I was a backup writer, and the other side said Don Angel. And so, you know, he said, "How you doing, Don?"
Oh, and he said Don.
And so, but anyway, the guy, he was the Canadian importer for Harley Davidson, so he had a whole bunch. Yeah. You know, he was way up there.
Heavy
and he gets a stipend from every Harley that went into Canada. So anyway, that was that
causing a ruckus.
The what?
A ruckus you were causing.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a fun place to go, and
it's on my bucket list.
On yes, yeah, no, you that. Don't put it on your bucket list. You go there.
I know.
The other thing about it is that it's a really, really large sodium deposit, and so all kinds of unusual things happen there. I'm sitting there looking around, and I looked up at the sky, and there's a cloud. And it looked exactly like the Streamliner.
Really?
Wow. And then the cloud went away.
I think the heat was getting to
him,
Mark.
And then I've been in a sandstorm, been in a snowstorm, I've been in a hailstorm, and a salt storm.
Yeah.
The wind is blowing so hard across the salt that the toilet, the porta potties are skating across the salt.
And they set any records?
Then we had taken the stuff
That's
off
good.
Of the... a Streamliner, the body work off the Streamliner, and we had it sitting down by the pit there, and we came back the next morning, the body work's all gone.
What?
Oh my God. Well, I guess we'll have to run it with no body work on it. And so there was this one, it was a diesel truck. It was called the Green Monster.
Yep.
And so they came over and says, you know, we got some stuff you guys might like to have. So they save the stuff when the salt
wind blew
storm
it,
came
that
up and blew it
them.
All away. That was pretty good. Yeah. So there's a lot of really, really good stories at Bonneville. I've only got like maybe 0.1% of the stuff that goes on there. And totally amazing. And then it was in 1998, I got a ride in it because Vesco was busy with the Turbinator, mm-hmm. and so he says, "Well, you know, I don't have time to do that. You go ahead and do it." So, I crashed at about 198 miles an hour.
I have a quote here, and that's about that. I was wondering if it's
true. It was
true.
On some television program for about 2 years, you know, and the thing was pencil rolling down,
You got to relive your crash
yeah.
for 2 years.
Yeah, I got to relive that crash for a long time. And so,
don't you love that?
After the crash, then it took you over and get the ambulance. So I'm sitting in the ambulance. Well, I know there's nothing wrong with me, but I got a bad leg, and so there's blood all over my leg, you know. I thought, there's nothing wrong with you. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong. So I got tired of sitting in the ambulance. So I got up and started walking. Well, I'm 5 miles from the pits, but I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
So I'm walking along, and I'm going, oh, man, I sure didn't make a mistake because I'm
this
all by myself walking
way.
Across all the salt there. And some guy came along and gave me a ride back to the pits. And
talk
then,
to the mic.
Oh, yeah. And then when we got the record there for it was in 2000, I think it was 2017, maybe. I don't remember which year it was. But anyway, it was the fastest on the salt, and it was an AMA meet. And when I made the down run toward the road, I got out, and I took my boots off, because you got the fire suit on and all that kind of stuff. So I took my boots off, and I was walking around in the salt. Well, that's not a good thing to do. It sucked all the moisture out of my feet, and they cracked and started bleeding. So that night I went down to the market, and I hobbled down to the market. I didn't walk down to the market. I hobbled down to the market, and I bought a pair of socks. So, okay, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to put these socks on. I'm going to put Vaseline in them and put them on my feet. Well, I got these damn socks, and I took them out of the package, and they're like these baby socks.
Oh,
so I had to walk back down to the store to get another pair of socks. You know, so that's just
you just can't take this guy anywhere.
No.
That's amazing.
A lot of cool stuff.
So you're in the 200 mile an hour club.
What?
Are you in the 200 mile an hour club?
I'm in the 201 club, which was started by something else. The 200 mile an hour club is a BNI, SCTA
right.
thing. And so this was not a BNI
oh, okay.
meet.
Okay.
It was a the bub meat. Okay. And you're familiar with that at all?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, okay. So bub stands for big ugly bastard.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So
okay.
That they put it on, and he quit doing that, and his daughter-in-law now runs it. And you know, it's a pretty good, it's all motorcycles. Yeah, so that makes it kind of nice. Yeah. And I kind of like going to the Speed Week because there's just so much cool stuff there.
Oh, Daytona? Or up,
no,
up
no,
in
Bonneville. I don't go to Daytona, and that's where all the summer people go to swim in the water.
Yeah,
spring break.
So at Bonneville, they have Speed Week. They have Speed Week. Then they have the World of Speed. They have the Bub Meet, and then they have the World Finals. Mm. Well, I could go there and spend the whole summer, but you know my roses would die,
right.
So I can't do that. But
I got a rose trick for you.
Go to your
nearest repair shop that turns brake rotors.
Uh-huh.
Ask them if you can have the iron that comes from the cutting of the rotor.
Uh-huh.
Take a tablespoon and put that in your roses about.
Oh, I have a boring bar, and so I bore cast iron barrels, and I saved the cast iron, put the roses
in. You didn't think I was going to come up with that, did you?
Because
that stuff, people ask me all the time, how do your roses come out so beautiful?
Yeah.
And my favorite is a Double Delight.
Yeah. That's a good rose.
That is not a
sounds
better.
Like this has turned into rose.
How did we
welcome
get there?
To Rose Radio. Oh,
did you notice how we just kind of drifted?
Well, racers and roses, man. I've got 50 roses.
I'm getting a T-shirt. Races, racers and roses.
Mark,
yeah, that's a good idea.
T-shirt. Of the interview.
Yeah, hey, you know what? So I'll tell you the one thing that amazes me about the land speed racing is like
you,
with any other discipline, you're prepping a car to go to a race.
Right.
And it might be every single weekend that you're going to a race.
Right.
Bonneville, you're prepping a car for one time a year.
That's it.
And I remember a story, and I know Donnie knows it well, that they prepped the Streamline. So Sonny used to have a fundraiser at the shop, and we'd do a ride, and everybody would donate. But they had got the Streamliner out there, and they were doing an engine run and goosed the throttle and destroyed the gearbox.
Ooh.
How close to the
I
race.
Had that gearbox. All the teeth were missing off them.
You well, prep we took for that an entire year and destroy it on the test
but
stand.
Now, wait a minute. We took it all apart and took all the gears out of it and ran one gear. It was a four-speed transmission, but we ran one gear.
On race
so
day?
I started out in high gear.
Yeah.
And you made it.
That's the first
mile. So I ran 180 miles an hour, 190 miles an hour or something. But
nice redirection,
so
Mark.
When you're there.
That was good. We got to have this guy around, Mark. Hey, you, be quiet. We have to go away.
He doesn't hear the music.
Gun Owners Radio coming up next. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer. Thank you, gentlemen.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.